I just got a couple of few announcements here. Saturday, we have prayer before communion. And the purpose of that prayer is, number one, to examine ourselves for Sunday. And if there's something in our lives, let's commit it in the hands of the Lord so the Lord will take care of it. And the second part is, we have to remember we are one body and many members. There's needs among us. We come Sunday, we break the bread, identify each one as a member, and just remember there are brothers and sisters that they have needs, where they work, where they're at, and deal with the people around them. Sometimes you have financial problems, other problems. The Lord knows each one of them, so just do what the Scripture tells you to pray for one another. Now, Sunday, the Lord's willing, we have communion at 2:30 and then men's meeting after communion. The following Saturday, we have Brother Hunter who is going to be with us. Remember this request and prayer so the Lord will give us something for each one of us. Then Sunday at 10 a.m., February the 8th, and Sunday at 2:30, February the 8th, we have services with Brother Hunter. Remember this request, and I think the two of the most important requests right now is to examine ourselves. I examine myself probably more than ever before, I should. And then one body, many members. We have to pray for one another. Amen. We have been studying the church age of the Laodiceans, and we're in Revelation, the third chapter. Laodicea is a... Sometimes people will call it the wretched one because it's just no good. It's a lot of rebuke. But in it, like we're going to see, there are key thoughts about the bride of Christ. And if we just follow what the Scripture tells us, I believe there's something for each one of us tonight. Now, the entire condition of the church is worldliness, sinfulness, and wretchedness. These three things. Let me make an introduction first, that there was never an empire that ever lasted. All of them fall. And all of them fall at the top of their peak. And the highest prosperity and the highest success that they had, that's the time that they dive down and destroy themselves. Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, now even at the time of Hitler, you remember the case of Hitler. He wants to play with nature. He wants to make the super race and play God. He spent lots of time and energy and money to make the super race, and now the people are doing the same thing. They're cloning everything you can imagine. So God will not tolerate these things, playing with nature like that. Something is going to give. And like I said, the time of the greatest peak of every empire, that's the time you have a big collapse, complete collapse. And this time, when it will happen, it will be a disaster, not only in one empire, but the world all over. Because you are tied up so close with the world financially and everything else, that when something happens, it will affect everything. Now, in that third chapter of Revelation, we study, we went to the 14th and 15th verse, and says, because thou lukewarm of the 16th, it says, neither cold, neither hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, watch that very close. On the 17th verse, God isolates himself from what the people say. And the first thing he does, he tells them, because thou sayest, I'm rich, increasing goods, have need of nothing. Three things. God says, you said that. It's not what we say, it's what God says. And when we think sometimes we have this and this and we say things, let's be careful, because probably we're in a terrible state sometimes unless we know the will of God. If you see God the second time now in the Laodicean church age, separate himself from what the people were saying. And the first statement that we studied was this, I know thy works, not my works, not our works. I know thy works. We work for God, but the question is God working in us and through us? That's the big question. The second part, God says, because thou sayest. So the people in the last days, or the Laodicean church age, remember, this is the last church age, the last period of time. There's nothing after that. After that, the rapture taking place. And he says here that these people say they are rich. Number two, they increase in goods. They have need of nothing. When you start reading the 17th verse, because thou sayest, we read here that at this point, God separates what they say and what he is. And today the people really, some of them don't believe in God at all. Forget it. And we have a lot of problems, and at the end there will be a persecution. With all the upset things that happen in Congress and the president and everything, always they look somebody to blame. Somebody to blame all the time. Who do they blame? The right wing. Who they say that's the right wing? The Christians. The persecution is boiling and the people are sleeping. But in the end, it will be such a persecution like in pagan Rome, Brother Branham said. And watch, don't look at the events, look who's getting the blame. The right wing. And the right wing had nothing to do with it, probably. I don't know, I don't follow politics. But always we look at the end now, at the Laodicean church age. And that church age that we're going to study, it had about close to 250,000 people in Laodicea. Today you go to Laodicea, you find nothing but posts standing from the earthquakes that God destroyed that by an earthquake. And you don't see any people, a little village with just a few people in Laodicea. And you say everything is silence. Why? God destroyed it. And now, this is the second definite case like we study. I know thy works. And then, because thou sayest, I am rich. There's no doubt that the Laodicea being the center of the crossroads of civilization there, of the Eastern world. In that place there, it was forbidden business, especially medicine. They were rich, but they could not see the city destroyed by God and have only ruins left there and nothing else. When Brother Woosley was here, he was telling me that his daughter heard in the news that they found this volcano in California. And Brother Woosley started talking about it, and he said, now they find out that can erupt any minute. Tremendous hot, you know, on the surface. And they find out that this is exactly on the fault. The scientists are concerned, they try to keep it low. But you know, if anything happens tonight, the world economy will collapse. Nothing to sustain it, because one depends on the other. And when we see these things happen, the scripture teaches us that sudden destruction cometh. There will be no time at that time to do anything. Sudden destruction coming. What is that sudden destruction, Brother David? You don't have time even to breathe. It's happening to you. And God now, in the Laodicean church age, starts speaking to these people, and really is speaking to our age. The people say, I came out of Laodicea. The scripture teaches us different. If you came out of denominations, out of the systems, out of everything, ask yourself the question of the 20th verse, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, sup with him and he with me. The question is not if you have come out. The question is not if you have heard the voice, but if you have opened the door and you're supping with Jesus. People are forming little groups, and they say, now these groups are the so-called message people, and we are ready for the rapture. I don't believe in that. I believe we'll be individuals and not groups. It's the individual relation with the Lord, that's what's going to be there. As a group, we fellowship as the body of Christ. But you don't know who heard the knock, and heard a bunch of quotes, and study a bunch of quotes, and give them around. That's not salvation. And you don't know really who has opened the door, because it's such a private thing that you and I don't understand it. Only God knows that. Listen to what he says here. It's the one that opened the door. Just that one. If any man. It's not the congregation in Phoenix Christian Fellowship. It's not the congregation at any place. But the people today are in a state of confusion. The people think they are deep if they're confused. Today we receive a call from Brother Simmons. He wants to buy some books and he wants to speak to me. He said to me, Brother David, he said, what stuff do you offer me? The people don't even know what it means. You know that? You don't. He says, these people are happy and so on. I said, well, it's God be manifested. Theos is God, phaneroma is manifest. God manifests himself in different ways. It's theophany. Or the people says they were the theophany before they existed, and now they come back, you know, so on, they pre-existed. I said, brother, by the time they'll finish, they'll believe in reincarnation, or there was somebody in an animal, and they came back to life. I said, that's not God. So all things are happening for confusion. But a believer, unless you have the ear of God to know what God is doing, what God is telling you, and the people will not understand. People think you run away from them. And after we talked for a while, you know, I told him I'll zero some materials and send them to the brother to read them, you know, to help him a little bit. But everything you can imagine in a religious form, Satan is throwing at the people today. And if it's confusion, the people think they are deep. Instead of learning to wait on the Lord in silence and simplicity. God is so simple. You know, we are frustrated. We live in a frustrated world. Any place you look around, things are moving and moving and moving and moving. But there has to be somewhere a place that will stand still and wait for the Lord. That's where the strength is, friends. It's not where we panic. I watch sometimes people, and they do this, they do that, and they run. They go nowhere but in a bar. And then they go home. The first thing they do, the TV. Watch. Try to get away from everything. You can't get away from anything. Practice to wait on the Lord. Say, Lord, this was another day. Help me tonight. Help me tomorrow. The Laodiceans was in such a state now that we know there has nothing to be left except a bunch of ruins there. And you know, the scripture teaches us in the last days, this nation will be burned up. We know that. Revelation 13 will be persecution, and we know, like in the days of Sodom, that God says, I will burn the world by fire. When you see the Laodiceans boasting that they had enough, and I like in a minute to make a couple of statements. And it says here, it says, you say that you are rich and you increase in goods. I said, what does it really mean? I went back to my original text and I look at it. They're rich as people that have abundance. They have everything they need. Before, we considered a poor a peasant that sits in the corner and begs. Now, everybody has something. We struggle, that's true. But instead of increasing goods, he says, you're super rich. The people look around them, and they think that they have everything. And the people don't realize at all the condition that they are, that this riches is destroying them and they don't even know it. Study on Amos. Amos says, now look, and Hosea. He says, when they are increasing goods and prosperity, then sin increases. And nobody can say we don't see that today. We see that very clear. The people have lost their confidence in government, have lost their confidence in the city, I've lost their confidence in the family. I've lost their confidence on everything. And what's going on into it? You think it's going to be a revival? No. We'll be like in the days of Sodom, like in the days of Noah. And now we see that the boasting of the material wealth, getting the spirit of independence upon the people. Don't boast who you are. That's the Laodicean spirit. You know? Everything that I got and everything you got. The clothes in your back is the blessing of God, and give to Him credit for it. The health that you have, it's the blessing of God and nothing else. Stop and give Him thanks and say, thank you, Lord. You know? Sometimes God doesn't give our wants. You know that? But probably He gives us what He's supposed to have. It's very hard to accept it. Live in this age and be pushed in every direction. And you say, I want this, I want this, I want that. If I had money, I would do this, I would do that. Now, they say that in that state, that independent state, we have need of nothing. They threw out everything. You say, what did they throw out? Number one, when a person becomes independent and self-centered or self-sufficient, he forgets about God. Today you can mention God on the radio, but they laugh with you. They call you right-wing. They call you fanatic. Why? Because the people have left God. And they are going in their own way and keep on going and keep on going until the final destruction comes. The question is not have what. The question is not that have or not have. The question is what God wants us to have. God watches over you. God watches over me. And sometimes, I myself at least, I go through sometimes through pressures and terrible things. I don't even want to go to bed. When you go to bed at night, I wait until you get extremely tired. And when I get to bed, I'm scared with nightmares. And you keep on battling. You pray, Lord Jesus, keep me this night. Because Satan will fight you day and night. Is that scriptural? Yes. Studying the book of Job and Psalms. He says, when I go to my bed to get rest, you scare me with dreams and so on. So now the Laodiceans, of course, the people think that by having the world goods, they need nothing. But look at Laodicea today. Nothing but ruins. No existence on it. I don't know. The city was destroyed. We don't know how many people were dead. That was the center today they used for the eye drops, which is called collyrium. That collyrium was found at that time in the Laodicean city of Laodicea at the medical school. So they had a civilization there. They had libraries, they had art, they had everything. But watch what they worship. The god of gods, Jupiter. That's what they worship at the time. And any time you worship idols, you're going to be in problems. Because idols is any obstacle between you and me and God. People think an idol is a statue that somebody kneels down and prays or burns a candle or something. No. An idol is any obstacle between man and God. Sometimes you can idolize our children. We can idolize our job. We can idolize our car. We can idolize many things. But an idol is an obstacle between you or me and God. And God doesn't want that. He says, I want to be the Lord of your life. I want to rule in your life. I want to be everything in your life. I want to govern your life. And I believe it's a tremendous experience to be in such a surrender before God, trusting God, and God will take care of you. You know, God will rattle our nest sometimes. Our nest is made out of nothing. And then we realize who God is. And we say, Lord, thank you for everything you have done for me. Look at you being able to walk tonight to go to church. There are many people shouting that they will die to see somebody to stop by and say hello to them. What do? We have everything, and sometimes we keep fussing. Are we getting the spirit of Laodiceans to have everything? And we have all the goods, and we have... You know, our hunger for Jesus is supposed to be so strong now that just about every minute is supposed to think about Him. Be able to shake the world away. Be able to pray for somebody else. Look, we have brothers and sisters who need prayer here. And probably the people are not even conscious of that. But I am, and I'm saying, we are members of one body. You identify with our one body, of Christ, you remember, they are members. Some of it's the finger, some of it's that. Remember, your brother and your sister, you can never say, I don't need them. You know, when something happens to me and to you, we ask for prayer requests. But how much of us are willing to reverse it and say, I'm going to pray for somebody else? The independent spirit of Laodicea can destroy us if we don't watch it. Should not be independent. We depend on the Lord. And we serve His people. Take the example from our Lord. He served the lowest. I was studying about what the congregation of Jesus was. The congregation of Jesus was the most simple people. You know, you get sometimes calls. And you need sometimes if somebody sends you something. And you say, what in the world these people are trying to do? I receive a phone call from overseas. Manstar, I don't tell you the country. The Manstar, he said to me, Brother Mamelis, I said, yes, sir, you know, speak British English. So I listened to what he has to say. I don't know what he had to say. I couldn't tell. I thought it was a man of Mahadi, you know, bothered about something. I said, sir, may I ask you something? I said, why did you call me? He said, why? I said, let me ask you something. What is the question? He says, I don't have any questions. I have answers, he tells me. So I said, I don't have any questions. So the conversation finished. You know, people pick up the phone and call you. They're in such a state that it scares you. He says, what is me? These people are doing? Then, you know, he calls the next day and apologizes. I wasn't home for being so cruel about things and so on. I mean, you've got to bear about everything, and you say, Lord, I pray so next day will be another day, and the people realize what they went through. It wasn't such a big thing, and they shouldn't be fussing anyway. Because we don't know what's going on. But I told him, I said, I don't have any questions. He calls me with the answer. I said, I don't have any questions. He said to me then, he says, that's it. I said, yes, goodbye. We'll hang up with the two of us. But now in the Laodicean, the people think by having the world's goods, they possess something. Today in Laodicea, you have nothing but ruins left there. Everything is destroyed. I'm just wondering, looking at this country, what we expect to happen. I don't mean to scare anybody. But what about a big earthquake strikes Los Angeles and levels Los Angeles, not even sink it? What do you think is going to happen? Tell me. All the world will know it. We saw that film for public broadcasting that says this. That says, if the Western stock market, West Coast Stock Exchange, close for 3 days, will cause economical disaster in the world. It says. What do you think will happen? If you have a job, nobody can pay anybody. The money cannot be processed. Disaster is here. We don't know. Somebody can blow next door to us. That's why I'm saying, be faithful to God and say, thank you, Lord. Just commit yourself to Him and He'll take care of you. That's it. Now, the world probably, it's difficult to find another site in the Western Asia than Laodicea. Number one, was a very large number of streams there. It's a beautiful country. The streams were moving, if you see the map, and they come into one main stream. It was abundantly watered. Writers like Josephus mentioned the wealth of Laodicea. It was extremely fertile soil. High level of technology, especially in medicine. The seacoast and the mountains was beautiful. Having there 250,000 people, and today has nothing. Is it a type that God is speaking to us in the last days that the Laodicean church age will be a total disaster? Let me for a minute make a statement. God sent in the last days a prophet. True. To do what? To restore us back from where we left, from where we backslid, and that's the Pentecostal Fathers, friends. Now, there are many people in the world. Somewhere, somebody might be in the middle of India, Africa, or some parts of the world, but the Holy Spirit is upon them, and they live the life. Listen to what I'm saying. They haven't heard the message that the same Holy Ghost can be talking to them isolated without knowing what to say. They might be sitting under a tree and crying day and night, God help us, God help us. And they don't even know how to act. These people probably live the life. Who is worse? They that live the life, or we that heard and don't live it? If any man, where is that man? Can be Ukraine. Can be in Poland. Can be South Africa. Can be in any place. And we have to train ourselves to say, I'm the man. I want to bow my head before Jesus and say thank you. Oh, I pray and I haven't had an answer. Remember, He's listening to you. God is listening to you. Now, out of the whole things, we can see here that if you compare USA with Laodicea, you see some great similarities. Prosperity to the maximum. Here, as long as you have promises for more money, more jobs, more this, more that, and I don't kick it around. It's necessary to have it. But you have to have the Word of God to balance it. God is not praised about that. Nobody a politician anymore in their speech just about. Just we thank God for the blessing. No, I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. God is listening. Mr. I, someday you're going to be shaken from your own feet. Why? Because God doesn't get the glory. The I is our God. The I is between us and God. That's what stands. And the I must die. If it doesn't die, then Satan will take over. I studied lately and I'm trying to find out who gives the blessing lately, the last few years. God or Satan? Is Satan releasing his kingdom here in the world? That's his kingdom. And we are rejoicing with the absence of God. And the people get more colder, more colder, more colder. Until the time we don't know what the church is for. It's a lodge. God now tells us there that if we compare USA with the Laodiceans, are going to be destroyed. And we're sitting whistling in a cemetery right now. The people, you give them promises, they believe everything. You tell them the truth, they don't want it. That's the condition of the people today. So God, if we look, the city of Laodicea was the city of great money exchange. That was the center of business. They carry many, many places. They trade their money there and everything else. But what happened to them? The commerce, manufacturing, and everything. Look at us today. Where are we going next? We reach the space, now we don't know what to do with ourselves. It's like Alexander the Great. He conquered just about the world. And then what happened? He received a disease. And really, what it was venereal disease. And he didn't want to die with pain. And he killed himself. What's all about then? What are we living for? We look at the Laodiceans and we think that they got everything. They got nothing. The age of insanity. Man says, I have need of nothing. God says, you are miserable, poor, and naked, don't know. I was talking to somebody who was telling me about one of the retirement communities in this area. She said, we find more alcoholics there than any other place. Drink and drink like a fish, she said. But how are you going to go by drinking? Nowhere. You escape from nothing. One of these days, my time, your time will come. But then you'll have to face God. The present U.S. condition compromise. This is, we are the rich. We bail out him. we bail out that country. I'm rich, he says. Increasing goods. And what happened? I'm rich means powerful, mighty, exalted, having large possessions, or abundant means. We have it, don't we? What do we do with that? It says that instead of increasing goods, perplutica means superabundance of wealth.